I'm not sure about you, but I'm all for skipping the sermon and just close our eyes and have the praise team play some more music. Does that sound, good? That was great. Thank you. Well, thank you again for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. It's great that I can come and do this and feel so welcome continue to remind you of what a blessing you've been for me over the years and to share with you. As I thought and prayed about what it is that God might want me to share with you this morning, I did come upon the message that I'm going to talk with you about today. But one of the things I want to make really clear before I start this morning is this is not a sermon that Pastor Will asked me to preach. Okay? So he had nothing to do with this. He's not behind this in any way. It's something God put on my heart, and it's something that, because of the unique position that I'm in, I'm not your pastor anymore, but I am a pastor. It kind of puts me in a unique position to be able to preach. You know, being a pastor is sometimes a little challenging, and sometimes you may know this, when you're the new pastor in an area, you get certain jobs. One of the jobs in this area, and this is true, is that when you're the newest pastor, you get to preach at the Thanksgiving Day service. And I got a chance to do that. I don't know if you remember that, but I was when I was first here, I got a chance to preach at the Thanksgiving. It's kind of an initiation of sorts. It's not a bad initiation, but it's kind of an initiation of sorts. I heard a story also of a pastor who was new to the area. And in that area, the thing that new pastors got to do was to do funerals for people who didn't have family. Or no one knew there in the area. So whenever there was a funeral and you were the new pastor for a period of time, you were the one who got the call. And in this story that I heard about, this happened. The pastor got the call that there was a funeral to be done. It was out in a country cemetery. And so they gave him the information and told him to report at a certain time and everything. And so he got in his car and started driving out in the country to find the place of the burial. Eventually came upon a spot where he saw a backhoe and a couple of workmen kind of standing off to the side, and kind of put two and two together and figured that was the spot for the service. So he got out of his car, he walked over. Of course, there was no one there except the two workmen, as there can be sometimes at a service like that. He really wanted to give this person, even though he didn't know them, he wanted to give them their due. And so he spent quite a time over there, you know, where they had dug the hole, and, you know, said a prayer, did a brief kind of eulogy of sorts, you know, tried to give it his best. And so he went back and got in his car and drove away. And it wasn't too long before the two workmen kind of got to talking, and one of them turned to the other and says, "You know, I've been working a long time out here, but I have never seen anything quite like that before." And the other workman turned to him and said, well, what's that?" He said, "In all my years, I've never seen a minister come out and do a service for a septic tank." That sounds like something I would do. So it's not easy sometimes being a pastor, and the sermon of or the title of my sermon today is "The Things Your Pastor Needs You to Know." You know, there's a lot of things about being a pastor that I think you figured out and you probably know, but there's probably some things that we need to do a better job sharing with you, because I think it might help you better understand us and why we do maybe some of the things, or why we react sometimes the ways that that we do. So I hope that this will be helpful. This is based on some of my own personal experience, but also I do a fair amount of counseling now with pastors and pastors' families. And so I hear the good and the bad and the ugly and the challenges of ministry at times. But let's start by reminding ourselves why we're here. And I'm going to read to you from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th through 16th verses. And this is from the New International Version. Again, this is Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. So Christ gave himself So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen. So, again, as you probably know, the skills of being a pastor today are pretty unique. And while the majority of our training, I was looking at Pastor Will's certificate, his Master's of Divinity certificate from Regent Seminary, while the majority of our training is geared towards preaching and teaching and a little bit of counseling, we're also asked to do quite a few things nowadays as ministers. We're asked sometimes to be strategic business analysts. We're supposed to know what is the right program that will help reach the most people that will fill our pews each and every Sunday. Although you may find it interesting to know that 85% of congregations today have 200 or fewer members. We're also expected as pastors to be financial visionaries. We're supposed to know how to get people to step up in their giving and their understanding of the importance of stewardship, and not only financial stewardship, but personal stewardship of their lives. And of course, we're asked to craft messages like these each and every Sunday. And the challenge is sometimes we can see as many as four generations of people in the pews. We're supposed to do that 52 or 48, 50 weeks a year. Messages that are fresh and messages that are innovative, messages that are hopefully or at least a little bit entertaining. And we have to do all that in this, as we know, kind of information-saturated culture that we live in today, where we compete with podcasts and YouTube stations, TED Talks. And then in addition to that, we're supposed to have the answers for some of the toughest questions that people face in life. Why? Why did my spouse of 30 years decide suddenly to leave me? Why did my 6-year-old grandchild get stricken with cancer? Why is my parent allowed to live in pain and suffering during these, the golden years of their lives? Peter Drucker, who's a business analyst, says that the four hardest jobs in America, don't know if you agree with this, are not necessarily in order: President of the United States, President of a university, CEO of a hospital, and being a pastor. Did you know that 50% of ministers leave the ministry after the first 5 years? And of those that stay, as many as 45% say they've experienced depression and burnout to such a degree that they've had to either take a leave of absence or they've begun to think about what else they might do. Many of them think about leaving the ministry, but often don't, because they really can't figure out another way to make a living. So I think I'm preaching to the choir when I say that being a pastor is tough stuff. And I'm not here this morning to look for your sympathy about that. Because I want you to understand that those of us who do this, we love what we do. We do it out of a deep sense and an understanding of being called. But I share it this morning because I think it might help you to better understand us as we continue to move through what I think is one of our most challenging times of being and doing church in our world's history today. And I think one of the things that we can do is we can help you as pastors maybe better understand how we're wired up sometimes and what these challenges are that we face. So I'm going to tell you some things, and these may not exactly apply to Pastor Will, so don't assume that this is necessarily true for him. It could be, but it might not. You'd have to ask him. The first thing that I would want you to know, and you may know this or may find it surprising, is that many of us in ministry are what are called introverts. Now, that may seem like a kind of strange place for me to start, but I think it gives you a lot of insight to understand us a little bit better if you understand most of us as being introverted in nature. And I think we're all familiar with that term, but just to remind you, introverts are people who tend to get their energy through more solitary activities. They like more private, more individual kinds of things. Introverts are people who like to think maybe more about things before they talk about them. Introverts tend to be, dependent upon how strong an introvert you are, a little awkward in social situations, especially situations where there's a lot of people and a lot of people that you don't know. But if you think about it for a minute, if providing a message like I'm doing this morning is one of the most important jobs that a minister does over the course of their week, it takes about 15, sometimes 20, sometimes more hours a week in solitary study in order to kind of craft a message like this. But what confuses, I think, you maybe sometimes is that even though we're introverts by nature, your experience of us is in our extroverting. The one time or a few times you may see us during the week, we're standing up in front of you talking like it's just the easiest thing that we could ever do. And it does get easier the more you do it, the more comfortable you get it. But what we would want you to know is that doing what I'm doing, for example, this morning, takes a lot of energy out of an introvert. And it's just one glimpse of who we are. So we have that ability to extrovert, but our fundamental nature is introversion. The other thing we would want you to understand is that we can be a little socially awkward, that there will be times when we just don't know maybe how to carry on the conversation, or you may even see us kind of withdrawing a little bit. I don't have that experience here because I've spent so much time with you, but when I go to other churches where I'm not familiar with people, the most difficult part of my time there is after the service in the fellowship hall. It is really uncomfortable for me. I am trying to figure out what's the earliest point that I can get out. I'll be honest. And I always worry that I'm going to leave too early or I'm going to offend somebody, but it's because I've done so much extroverting. If I've gone to a church, for example, where maybe I preached three services, I am spent. And the first thing I want to do is get out that door, get in my car, and be by myself. Most pastors, what do you think we do on Sunday afternoons when we get home? Not much. Not much. We're not talking. We want to kind of be left alone. So we need you to understand that most of us, again, I'm not sure Pastor Will is, but I am, are introverts by nature. And I would share with you also, you may find it interesting to know that in the general population, introverts only compose about 25%. 75% of people are extroverted. So we live in a very extroverted culture. So as an introvert, again, you can feel very awkward and you can feel very out of place just by the nature of kind of who you are. So when you see us in a meeting maybe and we're quiet, it's not because we're upset, it's because we're going inside and we're kind of thinking about things. Again, we like to think about things and kind of rumble them before we talk about them. When we say to you, hey, I'd like to pray about that, we're not putting you off. That we're really, you know, that's our process. That's how we kind of move through things. So we're introverts. The second thing I think that we can do a better job of sharing with you is the fact that we are excited about the opportunities that we see in ministry to be able to work with God and work with you to do the things that God has called us to. But that often we experience a bit of a tension in that relationship. You see, as ministers, we feel and we believe that we've received a call and that God speaks to us and gives us ideas and shows us things that we need to follow through on. But sometimes we have to learn to share that. And sometimes as a church, you have to learn to share that. So there's this tension that occurs between our pastoral or our apostolic sense of authority and the congregational sense of authority. So we seek with you to be in partnership, to be in unity, as Paul talked about from this passage this morning, to grow up and to build in love as each part does its work. And that's how we do it here in the Disciples Church, isn't it? There's a board that the pastor is a part of that makes decisions about the church. And what we need you to understand, and I think you're really good at that here at Parkview, is that we need you to share that power with us. And we too need to learn at times to share our power with you at all. But there's this tension that happens at times, especially when we feel led that there's something that God's really calling to have happen. I didn't have this in my notes, but I'm reminded just being here today that one of those things for me when I came here was starting Vacation Bible School. We weren't doing Vacation Bible School when I first came here. I think you had done it years previous, but God had just put it on my heart that we should start VBS. And I know a few of you looked at me like, you are the craziest person I've ever met. What do you mean? We don't have a lot of kids here. But God had just put that on my heart that that was something that we should do. And what did I hear? That this most recent Vacation Bible School, you had 40 kids. Yeah, praise God for that. You know, so thank you. You supported me. You believed. Now, it doesn't mean, again, that you have to support everything. I never was able to get the hot tub in my office. I tried to sell it as a baptismal opportunity, but, you know, you were probably right in not supporting that. So we, again, need you to work with us as we hold that tension. So I'm not saying you have to approve everything that we think is a good idea or everything that we think that God is telling us to do, but you also can't shoot all that down either. Because I'll tell you, there's nothing that will kill the spirit of a pastor more than for us to feel like we're nothing more than an employee. We're just somebody here, you know, filling a job. In fact, that's the times when probably when I've done ministry, I felt the most discouraged. When I felt like I was just being treated like the hired hand, the person who was here to do the job. So we need you to help us, and we need you to understand that we struggle with this tension in our apostolic or pastoral authority and your congregational authority. The last one is that we would want you, again, and I think you know this, we would want you to understand that ministry, as wonderful it is, as it is, can also create challenges for us in relationships. Not only relationships with one another, but also relationships with ourselves. You know, we don't talk a lot about this. Again, this is why it's unique, and I can kind of talk about this today. But, you know, I see this a lot in the counseling that I do, especially with pastors and pastors' families. You see, I think there's certain jobs that are just not as conducive for relationship as others, especially certain jobs that make things like family life and marriage life harder. And that's mainly because the demands that those jobs take out of people. I understand almost every job just takes a lot out of people today. But I think there's certain jobs like being in the military, being in public safety, doing certain types of public service and ministry that take a lot out of a person. And so we need you to understand that we struggle with attention again. We feel torn sometimes between our personal life and our role as ministers. We're going to always do our best to give you that 24/7 availability. You've got our cell phones. You know how to get a hold of us. But we also need you to understand, and again, this church was always wonderful about this, to understand that when we're off, we're off. Hopefully, no one's had to reach out to Pastor Will this week. Or if you did, it was truly, truly an emergency. And so that's why sometimes maybe if you call us and it's not quite an emergency or not quite that important, you may hear or you may feel a little bit of tension in our voice. And part of that's because we're thinking to ourselves, is this really that important? Can I just have a day or a couple of days where I can get a break? When we talk about being away with our family, you know, we need that time to disconnect from the role that we have here as pastors. And I would offer you to consider, I think that's scriptural. We read often all throughout the New Testament about Jesus, and he went away and prayed. One of the things that also makes ministry challenging and wonderful is that God uses us as the means to accomplish a task. And because of that, sometimes, again, it can create tension in ourselves. When you come to us and you talk to us about the things that are going on in your lives, it stirs up in us the things that are going on in our lives. And that's a normal thing to have happen. And we would never want you not to come to us as a result of that. But when you come and talk to me about the challenges in your family situation, I think about the challenges that are going on in my family situation. And it's hard to have that get stirred up sometimes. So again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying don't come to us as pastors for help. But also understand that it takes its toll on us sometimes as well. You know, we know that sometimes you want to kind of put us up on that pedestal. And it's tempting to want to get up on that pedestal. But you know what? When you're up on a pedestal, there's only one direction to go. And so a lot of us are very reluctant to do that. And we understand the inappropriateness of that. We need you to understand that just like you're people in process, we're people in process too. We're struggling with things in our own lives, maybe how to manage our temper, maybe how to have a good marriage, maybe how to heal a broken relationship somewhere in our family. Like you, we're people who are trying just to serve God and to do it the best way we can, but we do it imperfectly at times. So this morning, I would share with you a couple of those thoughts as ways to try to better understand who we are sometimes as pastors. The fact that many of us are introverts, and yet you see us in our most extroverted time during the week. The fact that we try to find the right path through this tension between pastoral authority and congregational or church authority. And that being in ministry, being in counseling, takes its toll on us. Takes a toll on us personally. But don't think for a minute that we don't love what we do. We do. And there's nothing else we would do. We just hope that you can better understand us as we continue to seek to better understand you. And that, as Paul says, we can build each other up as each of us does our part of the work. Amen. As the praise team comes up and we prepare for our last song, I'd like to extend an invitation, as we do in the Disciples Church, for anyone to come forward at this time who would like to make a profession of faith or a renewal of faith. So let's please stand as we prepare to sing.